Airways, Houston. We'd like to try auto track again on the Sturble.
You got it.
Okay.
And how's our friendly command module pilot doing? Is he going to be ready to pick us up at a nominal launch time?
Hey, you bet, Al. I've been talking with him all morning here, and he's really whipping around, getting a lot of pictures, and doing a lot of landmark tracking. He said he's picked you up on two passes now, and he also saw the reflections from the ALSEP on his last pass through there.
That's
yeah.
Great. Was he shooting a sextant camera?
On one pass he was.
Was this visual?
Just visual on this last pass, though.
Very good. How about the hot cotton? Did you ever get that going?
Yeah, that's negative.
Not too bad.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, run the ALSEP from the top of Cone Crater is... so bright, it stands out like a little jewel. I'm not surprised at all that Stu could see it.
He was really convinced that that's what he saw, and he didn't even know where it was, you know, and asked me where it was, and came back, and sure enough, confirmed that that's where it was.
Yeah, it's very good.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, at 139 hours, 25 minutes. Based on crew report, we have some admittedly preliminary and gross estimates of lunar sample weights being returned in Antares. As our air ground permits, so we'll pass those along to you now. From yesterday's EVA, we have a weight of the sample return container, a total of 43 pounds, the container itself weighing 13 pounds. This would give a net weight of 30 pounds. And the two other areas, we have the comprehensive and contingency sample weight, 5 pounds, two football size rocks weighing 15 pounds, which would give a net total from EVA-1 of 50 pounds. On the EVA this morning, in the sample return container, we have a gross weight or total weight of 29 pounds. The sample return container weight, 13 pounds, to give a net weight of 16 pounds. The crew reported 30 pounds of material on the B Sliss bag. The bag is estimated to weigh 3 pounds. This would give a net total of 27 pounds. Report of 50 pounds was given in the interim stowage assembly. The interim stowage assembly itself weighs 5 pounds, and it's estimated there are 30 pounds of equipment along with lunar samples located here. This would give a net total of 15 pounds, or a net total for this morning's EVA of 58 pounds. Combining the two, we come up with a total net weight of about 108 pounds. We'll stand by and continue to monitor. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
Houston, Antares.
Houston, go.
Ron, tell him that this high gain antenna is sitting here kind of wobbling and making all sorts of racket when it should be sitting very still and quiet. It was until just a minute or so ago. Now it seems to starting to go unstable, or at least neutrally stable. And it's not driving wildly, but it's making a hell of a racket, just kind of wobbling around its neutral point.
Okay, NGO copies that, and we'll let you know when.
Okay, that made some configuration change on the ground station hookup down here to you, and for some reason I think that may have helped your antenna chatter or whatever. That things seem to be steadier now.
Well, I set it out for a minute or so, and now it's picking up again.
Okay.
Why don't they accept the fact that damn thing's about to quit on it?
Okay, and Terry's Houston here. I'd like you to go back and select the lunar stay directable.
Okay.
This is Apollo Control at 139 hours, 50 minutes. In mission control at this time, Flight Director Milton Windler and the Maroon team of flight controllers are coming on, getting briefed by the previous shift, preparing to take over here in preparation for the powered ascent from the lunar surface. That event to occur in about 2 hours, 35 minutes, or at a ground elapsed time of about 142 hours, 25 minutes, 40 seconds. There will be a change of shift news briefing in the main auditorium of the MSC News Center. We estimate that that news briefing will begin in about 15 to 20 minutes.
Houston and Jerry's, we have a crew station, crew status report for you.
Okay, go ahead, Al.
Okay, I'm the PID commander, 16052, LMP 7050. Negative medication. We're all in excellent health and excellent spirits.
Okay, Al, sounds great.
And Terry's, this is Houston, over.
Go ahead, Houston.
All right, you're in, Terry. Your old Maroon team on station down here. We'd like to go to the pre-liftoff comm configuration as modified earlier to check out the high bitrate telemetry lock, over.
Okay, stand by. Okay, Bruce, you ready to try that?
Roger.
Okay, here I go.
Antares.
Okay, Antares, I'm reading you loud with a good bit of background noise on the circuit, as you might expect, but comms okay.
Thank you, Bruce. I'll return to the other setup.
Negative, we'd like you to stay in this configuration for the time being so we can see how solid our clinic is.
This is Apollo Control at 141 hours, 10 minutes, and we're now 1 hour, 16 minutes away from lunar liftoff. During the change of shift briefing, we accumulated a fair amount of taped conversation with Antares on the lunar surface. We're going to attempt to play all of that tape back. However, if we see that we're not getting caught up or that we're getting further behind, we'll stop the tape playback, turn the remainder of the tape over to transcript, and pick up live. Among the things that were discussed with the crew that we have on tape, we passed up a docking procedure for them. The nominal docking procedure will be for the crew in Antares to move up to the command module once they have gotten contact with the docking probe, firm contact. They will thrust in the lunar module using their RCS thrusters. For 10 seconds, or until Stu Russo reports an indication in the command module of capture, whichever comes first. The situation on the communications with Antares is roughly as follows. We still have some doubts about the lunar module steerable antenna. The ENCO reported a few minutes ago that he believes the steerable will give us lock-on. We're going to lift off from the lunar surface using the steerable antenna, prepared to fall back on the Omni antennas if that becomes necessary. One of the primary things that we lose with the Omni antennas is the ability to leave the microphones in the lunar module up hot. If we're on Omni antennas, the crew will be advised to trigger the mics using push-to-talk for communications with Earth rather than having the mics up hot for the full duration of the lunar ascent, and that, of course, would be the situation that we would be in if we're not able to use the steerable antenna throughout the liftoff. We also passed up the pads to the crew for the liftoff. The latest liftoff time computed by the flight dynamics officer is 142 hours, 25 minutes, 42 seconds. And we'll begin at this time to play back the tapes that we've accumulated, being prepared to go to live comm if we see that we're not getting caught up.
Antares, this is Houston, over. Go ahead, Houston. Antares, Houston, we'd like you to return to the previous comm configuration utilizing the erectable antenna, over.
Roger.
Houston, how do you read?
Loud clippers.
Okay, Ed, whenever you all are through reading, would you give us a call, please? And I've got a batch of pads to pass up to you.
Okay, I'll be ready to copy here in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Good Okay, Bruce, what do you want to send me first?
All right, Ed, we'll send up the ascent pad for the direct rendezvous first, over.
Okay, I'm ready to copy.
Understand you're ready, Ed.
That's firm.
Okay, ascent pad, direct rendezvous. 142-25-4200. 5542 Niner 00313 -0003 address 47 +37741 +01757 +58843 +56968 +00313 +01909 -37 143-10-5400 Lem White 10744 34417 Tig, one rev light 144 +24 +04 Read back, over.
Okay, 142-25-4200 55429-00313 -0003 +37741 +01757 +58843 +56968 +00313 +01909 143-105400 10744-34417 Take one rev late is 144-2404.
Antares Houston, read back correct. Ascent pad for coleoptic type rendezvous follows when you're ready.
Ready to copy.
Ascent pad, coleoptic sequence. 142-28-1250 55325 00380 -0004 address 47 +37741 +01757 +58614 +569 or 68 +00380 The balance of the pad is NA. Read back, over.
Roger, 142-28-1250. 55325-00380. That is 0004 +37741 +01757 +58614 +56968
Roger, read back correct. And now I have the CSI pad itself for you.
Okay, CSI, ready to copy.
Roger, CSI, noun 11. 143-26-3660 Noun 37 145-11-3000 0516 plus all balls 02066 03115 plus 0516 plus all balls plus 0011. Read back, over. And can you give us Poo and data?
You have it.
And Terry Houston standing by for CSI pad. Read back, over.
Roger. Data 11 is 143-26-3660. 145-11-3000. 081. Plus 0516. Plus all zeros. And 02066. 03115. Plus 0516. Plus all zeros. And is it plus or minus 0011?
And Terry Houston, the last value is positive. That is plus 0011. Read back correct, over.
Okay.
And we're starting the uplink for you. I now have the consumables update.
Ready to copy?
Roger. Consumables update for 140 hours even. RCS Alpha 80, Bravo 78. Descent oxygen, 38%. Ascent tank 2, 97%. Tank 1 reading is invalid, but it's approximately the same quantity. Descent water, 2-3%. Ascent water, 9-8% each. Descent ampere hours, 488. Ascent, 572. Read back, over.
Roger, at 140 hours. RCS is 80 and 78. Descent O2 is 38. Ascent is 97% and probably 97%. Water is 23. Ascent is 98. Ampere hours descent 488. Ascent is 572.
Roger out. And Terry Houston, ascent amp hours were 572. Is that affirmative?
That's far. Got it.
Roger. Then I've got an update to your timeline book and an update date to the surface checklist. Let's hold off on the surface checklist update, but the timeline book whenever you're ready.
Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
All right, you're on page 14 of the timeline book.
Okay.
Okay, down immediately prior to the block that says 60 contact, we want you to insert a verb 48 DAP load, and in R1 of the DAP, we're looking for 13002 to give you 4-jet translation in the docking procedure. Over.
Okay, I understand.
And immediately after the 60 contact block, we would like to add in TTCA Commander. Let me read through it once quickly, and then I'll go through it again slowly if you want to write it down verbatim. TTCA Commander, thrust plus X at contact until CMP confirms capture, or for 10 seconds, whichever occurs first. And then under confirm docking with CSM, change that to confirm capture report to CSM. Would you like me to go through it a word or two at a time? You can write it out, or do you just want to make a notation to that effect? Over.
No, you want to confirm capture, and it's plus X until Barbara Pole or 10 seconds, whichever is greater.
Roger, after contact.
Whichever occurs first, excuse me.
Right, whichever occurs first.
Right. Houston and Terry, it's my understanding that the docking originally will be tried in a nominal fashion, is that correct?
And Terry, Houston, this is a modification to the nominal procedure. We anticipate using it on the first attempt. If, of course, Stu calls capture prior to the time that you start thrusting, why that would not be necessary, but nominally you would start your plus X thrusting when you feel a good solid contact.
This is even on the first attempt at docking.
That's affirmative, Antares. Antares, Houston, computer is yours.
Okay.
Antares, this is Houston, over.
Go ahead.
Roger, in your lunar surface book, we're deleting the up link at liftoff minus 35 minutes. There's no P-22 required.
Roger, thank you.
And also in the surface checklist, at on page 8-1, under your S-band comm configuration, it reads S-band PM, primary voice, PCM off reset. We're changing that to PM, primary down voice backup in accordance with the comm configuration we passed to you previously.
Okay, we're going to lift off at down voice backup then.
That's affirmative, unless we instruct you otherwise later on. And you can delete all references to the spoolable antenna, to the steerable antenna, such as that found on page 8-6. Putting you in track mode auto and all that, over.
Gee, Bruce, I thought that we were going to go off normal and we had trouble go to this new procedure.
Negative, our baseline now is to lift off in this mode. We expect the Omnicom to improve as you fly through the profile and pitch over, over.
Okay, understand.
And in this connection, since you are lifting off in ICS PTT, we won't be monitoring the intercom loop within the cabin, and we'd like to encourage you to comment freely on how things are progressing and read stuff out to us as the occasion seems appropriate, over.
We never comment freely, but we'll comment reasonably.
Roger, out.
And Houston, we're starting through our checklist and liftoff minus 115.
Okay, stand by, please. And Terry, this is Houston.
Go ahead.
Roger, having passed you the changes to the comm configuration at minus 1 hour and 15 minutes, we'd like to hold off on going into the down voice backup mode and ICS PTT until liftoff minus 50 minutes. That is just prior to the RCS hot fire check, as we're advised that on Apollo 12, the hot fire check blew the erectable antenna over. If the erectable antenna is still standing after the hot fire check, we'd prefer to come back into the normal voice configuration until sometime shortly before liftoff, over.
Okay, Bruce, why don't you call the comp in real time and we'll respond.
We'll go ahead. And Terry Houston.
Go ahead.
Okay, latest revision to the communications plan. At this time, we would like you to select the steerable antenna and auto track mode and give us your evaluation of the amount of grinding and motor noise you get out of it and try to form an opinion whether we think it'll be satisfactory for liftoff. If it seems like it's making too much noise or behaving erratically at the present time, We will then go into the slew position on the steerable antenna, maintain calm up until just prior to liftoff, where we want to return to auto and attempt to make it in the auto position. If it proves unsatisfactory during ascent, we'll request aft omni down voice backup and ICS PTT. Over.
That's good to me. Okay. Switching now.
Roger, Ed.
Okay, Bruce, it's very quiet for the moment.
Okay, very good, Ed. And
let you know if it's
during ascent, if you perceive that you've lost the steerable, why, don't wait for us to call you to switch over. Over.
Well done. Houston and Terry's are all of my ags constants on page 85. Good.
Stand by, please, Ed.
Some of them are on the ascent pad, Bruce, but there's some that aren't.
Roger, Ed. Except for those values which are loaded on the pad, the ones you have in the checklist are good. Over.
Okay, thank you.
Houston and Terry, the rendezvous radar test is satisfactory.
Roger, and Terry.
Houston, are you ready for the hot fire of the jets?
That's affirmative, and Terry.
Okay, Houston, the antenna blew over.
All right, your Antares.
Al Shepard was referring to the... Al Shepard's reference to the antenna blowing over referred to the S-band directable antenna on the lunar surface, and as on Apollo 12, when the crew fired the reaction control system jets to check them out, the thrust from those jets blew over the antenna. We're 53 minutes now from ignition, from lunar liftoff, progressing smoothly toward that event. About 10 minutes, 25 seconds from reacquiring Kitty Hawk on its 31st revolution of the moon.
Hey, Houston, hot fire test complete. We're satisfied here.
And Terry, Houston, we concur. It looked good from down here. I have your K-factor update. And Terry Houston, K factor 140 plus 00 plus 0036. Read back over.
Roger, 140 00 plus 0036.
Roger. And with respect to the comm situation again, Ed, if you have to switch to the aft omni antenna prior to making the 30-degree yaw maneuver, delete the yaw maneuver, that is, remain on the belly band. If you have to switch after making the yaw maneuver, do not change, that is, remain with the 30-degree yaw. Over.
Okay, we got that.
And for your information, due to the CSM orbit, which is currently about 61.5 by 58.2, we are anticipating a TPI burn delta V on the order of 100 feet per second, vice the lower 60 some feet, vice the 90 feet per second in the flight plan.
Okay,
Okay, we understand.
And for your information, Antares, your thruster firings are also monitored by the seismometer. They're coming through loud and clear, over.
That's good.
This is Apollo Control at 141 hours, 37 minutes, and we're now 48 minutes, 45 seconds from lunar liftoff. The crew at this time somewhat ahead of the flight plan. They're presently aligning the platform on their lunar module guidance system. This is the stable reference member, which is used by the onboard guidance system in determining the spacecraft attitude. This is Apollo Control. We're about 50 seconds now from reacquiring Kitty Hawk, the command module, in its 31st revolution of the moon. We're using a dual capsule communicator setup in mission control at this time. Bruce McCandless is CAPCOM for the lunar module, Antares, and Ron Evans is CAPCOM for Stu Roosa in Kitty Hawk. At acquisition, Evans plans to pass along to Roosa the fact that we do not expect to have manned spaceflight network relay of the ascent. Normally, when we have the high-gain antenna operating properly on the command module, the manned spaceflight network would be used to relay communications from from Antares to the command module. This will not be done because the command module high-gain antenna is not locking up in narrow beam width. Roosa will get his communications from the lunar module via the VHF communication circuit, which will be put into activation shortly after orbital insertion. And we have acquisition now of Kitty Hawk.
And Terry's Ed. We'd like to get batch 5 and 6 online now and 1 and 3 off if you can do it without interrupting the B-57, over.
Just one second. Have it just a second, Bruce.
This is Apollo Control. We're now 33 minutes from lunar liftoff. Aboard the command module Kitty Hawk, Stu Roosa at this time is getting suited up. And CAPCOM Ron Evans has advised Roosa that he will be relaying on the separate air-to-ground link the progress of the lunar liftoff. Ed Mitchell and Al Shepard aboard Antares on the lunar surface have just completed the alignment of their guidance system platform. And CAPCOM Ron Evans will be passing up to Stu Roosa information on stowing the probe assembly. In the command module, the plan is to return the probe, and it will be stowed under one of the couches in the command module Kitty Hawk.
And Terry Houston, did you call?
Negative. That was the other Antares.
Terry Houston, we copy your address 47 and 53, over.
Okay, thank you. Houston, Antares.
Go ahead, Antares.
Do we want to stay with the computed 047 and 053, or shall I reload the pad?
That's affirmative, Ed, and we're only reading four digits on the data. Is that 01706?
That's affirmative.
Roger out.
What was the affirmative, to reload or to stay with what I have?
The affirmative was to stay with the computed values that are already in the computer.
Thank you.
Antares, Houston.
Go ahead.
Roger, you can take descent battery 2 off as per the checklist. Keep descent battery 4 online until our call, over.
Okay.
This is Apollo Control at 142 hours. We're coming up now on 25 minutes until lunar liftoff. Things progressing smoothly at this time. Mitchell and Shepard aboard Antares have switched to the guidance program in their onboard guidance system, program 12, which will be used in the powered ascent from the lunar surface. And the lunar module ascent stage batteries 5 and 6, look good at this time. The voltages are normally, and they're sharing the load well. At this time aboard Kitty Hawk, Stu Russo is maneuvering the command module to the proper attitude for the LEM liftoff. He'll have the CSM apex pointed toward the lunar surface. And Capcom Ron Evans has advised Russo that the lunar module appears to be in good shape for liftoff, with the one problem of the LEM steerable antenna, which may give some problem in tracking, and if it does, we'll be switching to one of the Omni antennas on the lunar module. This is Apollo Control at 142 hours, 6 minutes. We're coming up now on 20 minutes until lunar liftoff. And aboard Antares, Shepard and Mitchell will shortly begin pressurizing the ascent propulsion system. Here in the control center, the large plot boards, which will be used primarily by the flight dynamics officer and the guidance officer for the lunar ascent, have come up. One of these displays in particular will be crucial to the flight dynamics officer, and that's a display which shows him altitude versus the rate of altitude gain. The FIDO will use this display in determining whether the LEM guidance system is putting the proper amount of energy into gaining altitude as opposed to gaining velocity. Initially, the engine will be putting a larger percentage of its energy into altitude gain. Later on in the burn, the LEM will be pitching over, and the rate of altitude gain should drop off as the velocity gain begins to increase at an ever-growing rate.
To Houston, we're standing by to pressurize the ascent helium.
And Terry Houston, your go on that one at a time, please.
Gotcha. Will do.
Okay, here's number one, Houston.
Roger, stand by. And Terry Houston, your go on the second.
And Terry's, this is Houston. You are go for liftoff this pass. Direct rendezvous, guidance control pings, over.
Roger, go for liftoff, direct rendezvous, guidance pings.
Roger that. This is Apollo Control. We're now 15 minutes from lunar liftoff. Everything looks good at this time. And we've given the crew the go for a direct ascent rendezvous with a nominal liftoff time. Our liftoff time, 142 hours, 25 minutes, 42 seconds.
And Terry's Houston, you can treat batch 2 and 4 per the checklist, over.
Okay, here we go.
And Darius Houston, both batteries 5 and 6 are looking good.
Thank you.
This is Apollo Control at 142 hours, 16 minutes, and we're coming up now on 10 minutes until lunar liftoff. It's been relatively quiet here in the control center. Also, relatively little communications with Antares at this time. The powered ascent burn is scheduled to last about 7 minutes 12 seconds. At the end of that burn, we should have achieved a velocity of about 5,543 feet per second. The electrical systems engineer here in the control center for the lunar module reports that those ascent batteries on the LEM, which were a source of some concern prior to the powered descent and the landing, look good at this time. This is Apollo Control, now 5 minutes from lunar liftoff. Everything's still looking very good for that liftoff and direct ascent rendezvous. At the time of liftoff, Stu Rusa and Kitty Hawk should be about 67 nautical miles behind the lunar module and had orbit insertion some 7 minutes 12 seconds later. The command module will be leading by about 135 nautical miles. Shortly before liftoff, Shepard and Mitchell aboard the lunar module are scheduled to make a VHF voice check with Rusa in the command module. We're now coming up on 4 minutes until lunar liftoff.
And Terry Houston, I'm Mark at 4 minutes. Stand by. Mark, 4 minutes. Okay, we're right with you.
Roger out.
And Antares, Kitty Hawk is trying to raise you on VHF. Kitty Hawk, Antares, how do you read? Antares, Houston, Kitty Hawk is reading you 3-by on VHF.
Roger. We're not reading him.
Okay, we'll pass that to him.
And Antares is counting down to 2 minutes. 3, 2, 1, mark 2 minutes and counting.
We concur.
Houston, the master arm is on, the A and B lights are on. Hey, 367 readout and
Roger, we confirm both systems are
on. Loud and clear. We have 45 seconds and counting.
Okay,
hello. See you shortly. Okay, Disky's on time.
Have a nice, cool and set up.
Abort stage is set. SM engine is armed. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Ignition.
We have ignition.
What a liftoff.
And liftoff.
Roger, ignition.
Boom. Pitch
There's
over.
Pitch over. 10 seconds.
Roger.
Hey, baby. Pitch over is good.
We confirm auto-ignition.
That's affirmative, auto-ignition.
And here we're going across Cat's Paw.
What's the fall? Good, Houston.
Roger, you're looking good from down here, Al.
Coming up on 1 minute.
Al.
2, 1, mark one.
Mark one. A little bit low and slow, but eggs are...
Fido says we look good, all sources.
623.
Together.
Okay, yards complete, Houston.
Roger.
Take a look at the target again. 542, 931, 3. Targeting is still good. Okay.
Two.
trajectory looks good. We're at 12,000 feet.
3, 2, 1, Mark 2.
H-bar is good. H-bar's right on. H is right on. Pings and eggs are together.
Okay, steering is good. Pings looks good, Houston.
We copy Al and your go from down here.
Velocity 1100, altitude 16,000.
Height of the drum.
Coming up on 22,000 feet, the steerable antenna tracking very well.
The steering is still good, Houston, coming up on 3 minutes. 2, 1, mark it.
Marked. 3 minutes. B-spar is good. H-dot's good. H is good. Things and eggs agree. Working at oscillation in our RCS pressures, but I'm sure it's station.
Okay, the RCS looks good from down here, Ed.
30-31.
And your go from the ground at 3.5. Everything's nominal.
Hey, Bruce. Looks good here.
Antares Houston, your go from the ground, looking good.
Okay.
Antares Houston, now we show all services, ping, zags, and Miss Finn in good agreement.
That's good.
Okay, thank you. But 2.5 to go out of plane, looks good. Hey, we're a little beyond 5. We got 5:30.
Altitude 47,000 feet now. Velocity reading 3,500 feet per second.
By 5:30 to market.
5:30. That is good. H dot's good. H is good. Things and eggs are great.
About 65 miles to go. Fido says we're looking real good.
Okay, let's take one more at 6:30.
All right.
And Terry, this is Houston.
Let's take a look at
the pins. 6:30
is what you said. Okay.
Gosh. Take a look at 85 versus 500 for a minute. Okay. Hey, 940.
Okay, I'll stay with 500.
Okay, very good.
They're looking good. There's 800. 750.
100.
550.
500. Okay, open. Range arms
open.
SMB's closed.
Closed. 850.
Roger. Trim the things, all axes.
And those residuals are good.
Bridge reset. Up button push, key release.